Are you there, Bill?
I'm here. Yeah. We're not sure you're here.
Am I here? Are you guys picking me up?
You may want to stop your video. It's you're clogged up real bad.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, can you hear me? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So let's call this meeting to order at 1:09. I'm showing. We'll dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance. We're still in Zoom. We're hoping to be live here soon, but not today. This is our only meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for August. Today is August 11th at 1 o'clock or 1:09, 1:10 now. And do we have any changes to the agenda? I see we do have one. I'll actually make a note of it. We're going to add on consent agenda point F, and that'll be pages 88 and 89. It'll be concerning the ARPA grant agreement. And are there any other changes to the agenda?
And the intent there, Commission, is for the approval of that to be substantially in the form presented. We know there's an address update and there may be some minor technical shifts as it goes through county legal, but we wanted to get authorization to sign that as soon as it's ready and get those dollars in our bank account.
Okay.
I second that.
Okay. I have a note to ask on the agenda. Add an agenda item or save this for commissioner comments, but I would like some discussion on an email that I received today from EDC Team Jefferson regarding their executive director selection process. And it most of this does take place before our next meeting, so it would be helpful to have some discussion. So we can either add an agenda item or I can save it for comments. What would you like, commissioners and Karen?
I would say, why don't you do commissioner comments would be my comment.
Pam, do you think it's going to be a discussion at length? Looking for some brief input?
I would like your input on it. I think that this is one of the most important things that's going to come up with the hiring process is one of the most important things. So,
okay. Yeah, for that, I think maybe it could probably go in commissioner comments. But
okay.
Yeah.
I'll save it for that.
Okay. So on the consent agenda, is there discussion on it?
I had one, just one really quick one. The call sign for the radio station is different than is in the minutes. It's in the minutes, it calls it KPTC and it's KPTZ as in zebra. So, but that's the only comment I have to make, or the only correction.
I guess that was a typo. Thanks, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Kim?
I have some questions on a couple of the pages that I didn't get to ask beforehand. On page 9, the AMB tool pressure washer, 9,226. Was that a rental or was that a purchase?
Aaron, I'll let you take that.
Actually, you broke up with the, I didn't quite hear what the vendor was.
AMB Tools. I'm assuming that is the pressure washing. And we were charged.
You're on mute, Abigail. Abigail probably just looked it up. You're still on mute.
I know. So that was actually a special plate that needed to be made to repair the vac truck.
Mm. Okay.
So it was to repair our vac truck.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And then on page 20, the LNI for 20,000.
Mm-hmm. That's our usual quarterly payment.
Okay.
Yep.
And one more question. On page 13, $22,468 for Botero and Sons.
That was a pavilion electrical work.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent agenda with the amendments and corrections.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're on part five, the special presentation for Chad.
And we don't see Terry Cobb.
Can we show Chad?
Yeah, I can pull him up. Would you like me to do that?
Absolutely.
He's not here, but pictures of him are.
I took some pictures of Chad when we hauled out a month ago. I was really studying all of the physical labor that goes into hauling out a boat. So as you can see, here's Chad moving one of the, I think, 10.
Going backwards, sorry.
That's all right.
Start over there.
Yeah.
So hooking up those big straps.
Right. And then the two guys are under the boat and they're actually having to, with their bodies, yank all of these things back and forth.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Is Terry on?
Yeah, Terry's trying to log in right now. So if we hold on just a moment, he was having a hard time getting the link in there. So.
Is there something wrong with Zoom today? It seems like we're all having issues with getting into Zoom today.
I hope not.
It does seem to be a little less smooth than normal.
Right.
Maybe we're having some internet connectivity across the Northwest.
Right. Could be.
Or maybe it's the new version of Zoom has got bugs that they have yet to figure out.
Maybe. Bill, that would be bad.
Can we go back to gallery, Karen?
Sure. There's Terry. Where'd he go? He went away.
There he is.
Oh. There he is.
Ooh.
Hi.
Terry.
Hello.
Wow.
So hi. Sounds like I was a little late to the party talking about Chad. So he's unfortunately out hauling boats right now. And it's his fifth anniversary. And I'm sure you all know that he's done pretty much all the grunt work for the port, from the airport to the bathrooms to Point Hudson and all the yards and the docks. And it's good to have people like Chad here because he just does what you ask him to do and really doesn't complain. Every once in a while, like cleaning out the washdown vault, it's pretty stinky. He doesn't like that very much, but so yeah, he's a good person.
He's a great person. I've enjoyed working with Chad myself, I will say, and he's always been very kind and considerate and making sure everything's going perfect. So. Yeah, he's the kind of guy you want there.
Yeah, the customers really enjoy Chad. He's, you know, he hits it off with a lot of the haul out customers and the mortgage tenants pretty well. So that's a bonus to have somebody that can have that rapport with our customer base.
I've interacted with him since he first started here, and he just goes way above and beyond. I mean, he's always looking to fill every moment with something to do. I've seen, you know, between hauling out boats and then he runs over to, you know, he's pressure washing a boat and then he's running over to the recycle area and going through the recycle and redistributing what people don't do a good job of putting bin.
Yeah. The environmental centers and the recycle bins, they don't get a lot of love, but Chad, I don't even have to ask him to do it. He just does it on his own. So that's nice.
He's got such a good attitude and just an extremely hard worker.
Yep. I can agree.
So be sure you pass along an attaboy from all of us to him today.
I will. I was actually going to take him to lunch, but he's still busy and I'm busy. So I'll catch up with him later on and take him to lunch.
Yeah. Supersize his fries and send me the bill.
Okay. I can do that.
Yep. Happy to do that.
Yes. Yep. Now, besides that, everything's going pretty good. So
it's going to be hot.
It's hot already.
It's warm. Yeah.
The yard office here is pretty hot inside. So,
hey, Terry, just an FYI, I ordered three of those portable air conditioner units that are, have you ever seen those? They're heat pumps, kind of, and they're on forecasters. They actually have a hose that goes out like a dryer hose.
Oh, really? No.
Very effective. If you're driving by the office, the PSE office.
Help myself to one of them.
Help yourself to one of them, sure. No, but look in the back and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I was headed to down to Point Hudson after this anyway, so.
Yeah, and you really should grab one for the, it's amazing. It's a new world.
Yeah, it would be nice. Both Christian and I sit back here and just die, so.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out when you go down there.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
All right. Have a good meeting.
Thanks, Terry.
Are we going to read public comments?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Pam. So let's switch back to three. And we've got a public comment from Carrie.
Carrie Fiore to all of you. The subject is request. Oh, it was sent on August 6th, and the subject is request for consideration of marine trade business for covered nightly rental space. And she says, in 2016, the 70 foot covered space in question was described as a temporary structure. It has been an ongoing topic of discussion for the last 6 years, spanning over several different administrations. We would like to challenge the decision made by the commissioners to utilize this space in the fashion it is currently being rented. As a neighboring marine trade business whose exit opens into this space, we have experienced persistent safety concerns by having our emergency exits blocked and loss of ventilation opportunities. Additionally, after reviewing an 18-month study, utilization has proven to be consistently low. From your retreat notes, it was stated that the port desires to support purpose-built structures for marine trades businesses to add to the range of services provided. Given the opportunity for long-term lease, Armstrong Consolidated would like to expand into this space, thus allowing a current local marine trades business to grow. Were this to become an ACI Gold Star occupied space, there are plans to turn it into a state-of-the-art marine paint facility. We respectfully request that the port supports the marine trades tenant in the occupancy of the 70-foot covered space. Thank you for your consideration. Carrie Fiore, General Manager, Armstrong Consolidated.
I did receive that comment. I didn't recognize the name. Pete, is it okay if I make a couple comments on this?
Sure.
Okay, I have two comments. Number one, I feel like our commission discussion and decision that we made stands. And number two, I'd like to have the concerns noted in the letter regarding ventilation and emergency exits looked at.
Any other comments?
No.
Okay. Any other public comments, Eric, Karen?
No. And we have one attendee, that's Jeannie McMacken, and she has not raised her hand. Hello, okay. Jeannie.
All right, so we'll go to part six, second reading, part seven, first reading, part eight, regular business, June year-to-date financial report. Abigail, you're up.
Thank you, Commissioner Henke. Good afternoon, commissioners. So page 43 of the report, this is your quarter two financial report. As you can see from the chart, the operating revenues have steadily increased year over year, except for 2020, when, you know, about a quarter through the year, we were hit with the pandemic, and that hit us for the rest of the year. But overall, year to year, those increases averaged 8.7%. This year, yard operations continues to lead the pack, about a 29% increase over the prior year. It's about close to 300,000. And Point Hudson with a 40% increase, which is a larger percentage, but a smaller dollar of 217,000. And overall, though, budgeted revenues actual revenues are below budget by, ahead of budget, sorry, by 15%. And then expenses, that graph, year to year, they varied for a variety of different reasons. Some of it is changes in staffing, increases in FTEs, timing of expenses. We're only halfway through the year. And other items, like, for instance, for this year, we have a whole lot more year to date in repair and maintenance costs because of the speed at which maintenance has been working compared to prior years. Also, additional equipment being purchased, environmental materials, and which was about 32,000 this year, and what appears to be the new normal for increased bank charges, the credit card fees. Then moving on to the page 44, talking about the accounts payable. We're very close to the finish line on being able to pay Scarsella. We're just waiting until we get that grant awarded, which we've been working with FAA on, and we're nearly there. We added bond debt last time so that you can see where we are overall and then just for the year. So as of June overall, we owed about $6.9 million, and the remaining debt service for this year was just under $1 million at $910,000. We did pay that $512,000 on July 1. So we've more than halved the payments for the rest of the year for our bond debt.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
You gotta like that, Abigail.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So then on to the next page, page 45, we looked at capital project expenses. I don't know if you looked at the prior month, May compared to June is a big difference. Increased from May by 158,000. And again, that is our maintenance crew doing a lot of capital work. We've got the season with the dry weather. They're able to get a lot more done. I think the Nemora building is almost finished. There's just a water meter I think we're waiting for. The Sperry buildings, those are, I think, essentially done. Those two, the Sunrise Coffee and the PT Brewery. Commercial dock repair, that one I believe is also done. Might be as of July though. And then the pavilion building, which has had a substantial amount of work and still has a little bit more to go, but that is definitely almost there. Had a wedding there. One of our port employees rented it this last weekend and had a beautiful wedding, I hear. And yeah, it's just really becoming a destination spot. So then moving on to the cash balances, same page, 45. If you compare 20 to 21 overall, both reserves and unreserved were up 1.7 million from the prior year, which is substantial. We have the IDD separated out. And that's a little over $1 million increase. The unreserved is down about 200,000. And then the other reserves is up close to 1,906,000. So I added to this some detail on the other reserves because I just wanted to make sure everybody kind of was on the same page with understanding the commitments that were made previously, but via resolution for some of our reserves, like the operating reserve. You can now see our current balance of that is 638,000. Our target is 25% of our annual expenditures, operating expenditures. So that currently is 1.3 million. So even though the balances are looking really good, we're not there yet. Boathaven renovation reserve, that's another reserve that's part of that other line item. And that is being spent down according to budget, but there isn't a target balance because once it is spent down, we won't, it'll go away, it'll be extinguished. It was replaced by the Portwide Capital Reserve a few years back. And that one is growing as well with the 668,000. There is not a target for that Portwide Capital, which is something we might want to look at with the upcoming budget because that funds not just minor projects, but also match on grant expenditures. So that might be something we want to look at. And of course, the emergency reserve, which was just started this year, has a targeted balance of 500,000 with a current of 450. And I have, and during this time of year when we have a good income coming in, I fund the balances early for the year as best I can. So for instance, the operating and the Portwide Capital Reserve, those are funded through August as of this year. For June. That way, when we get to December, we don't have to worry about not having much money to fund those. Are there any questions with that? No?
I guess I'm looking at this always looming utilities number, and I know the PUD is considering rate increases, electrical rate increases. So I'm just thinking we might want to set a flag when we start to look at tenant rates again upcoming that we get some sort of reading from the PUD about what impacts that might have.
So we do regularly, the accounting office looks at increases both from the city and the PUD on their water and their electrical, and we keep up on that, not just their kilowatts or their consumption costs, but their base rates. So we're on top of that, and our rate sheets reflect that those rates are subject to change based on those third parties. So it is reflected and is also disclosed to customers.
Okay, great.
So looking to page 46, which is the actual financial statement consolidated. It's hard not to see we're doing really well with our revenues, up 18% from the prior year and ahead of budget. Year to date by 13%, and expenditures are up about 8%. So that's good, it's less than revenues. And according to budget, it's only over budget by 2%. So we're looking good that way. And then the bottom line, overall the increase when compared to the prior year, it's basically from the operating revenues, which are so strong. In this year, and let's see, and even compared to the budget, we're ahead by about 200,000 in our net income. So we are doing well.
Abigail, on that note, I want to further announce how well we're doing. I looked at our 2018 and our 2019 actuals for the whole year for our net operating income. Mm-hmm. And in 2018, our net operating income was $762,638. And here we are halfway, this is 6 months, and we've got an NOI of 1,050. You know, so we're more in 6 months than what we did in a whole year in 2018. And then we're in 2019, we were at 1,374,000. And this year at the 6 month level, again, we're at 1 million, 6 months. That's a huge, I didn't look at 2020. I figure that's a little bit of an anomaly year.
It is.
Yeah, but yeah. Just outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's a good sign for everybody. Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions?
I think our yard crew should get a bonus. Yard operations, just throwing that out there.
I thought they worked on commission, Pam.
Yeah, that'd be good. Good for them. Just
we're going to talk about that briefly in a bit, not at the moment, but in a bit.
Right.
Okay.
Looks great, Abigail.
Well done.
Thank you.
You did it all. Are you done, Abigail?
I'm done. Yeah.
Okay. And then are you doing the IDD levy quarter? Financial report? Quarter two? Well, let's just roll into it.
Okay. So
we're on page 49.
Right.
Anyone wants to know.
So, yeah, we developed this this year, this report, and just to give the commission a quarterly update on where we are with levy receipts, as well as budgeted capital expenditures that are to be paid for with the IDD. And so we've got a year to date. If you look over on page 50, you can see the budgeted receipts for 2021 are 1.6 million, and we're over half that already at 973,000. And then if we look at our costs to date, we're well below the budget. However, as I mentioned earlier with the operations, same applies with, you know, just June being the beginning really of the working season for our maintenance crew. They did a substantial amount of work starting in July, and that will be, those items will be added to this list as those months come up where the work is expended. So we have a remaining IDD reserve balance of, at this time, as of July 23rd anyway, 1,492,000. So that is good and healthy, which we need, especially for the jetty. So I think things are looking good. And I wonder if you have any questions. It's pretty straightforward.
Now, just thinking about what we will need for that jetty and in 2022.
Right.
Yeah, the longer before we start that project, the more expensive it is. I don't know Are we asymptotically approaching this point where we can afford to start it?
Well, I think what you're likely to see as we move through the budget recommendations would be to again ratchet up the IDD levy amount. You know, we started at what, about 800,000 second year, about 1.6 million. We're thinking the third year, probably at least years 3 through maybe 5 or so, we'd be at closer to 2.5 million. And, you know, Abigail's been working with Mike to kind of figure out the timing of when costs would need to be paid. And, you know, the reality, of course, is that that's a really big project, and we'll need those dollars as well as line of credit to bridge that along with the other projects that we have. And the other, I think, reality is, you know, the sooner we can deliver IDD-funded projects with IDD cash in hand, the more powerful those dollars are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what you're likely to see from staff, at least, is a request to, you know, to take more and put that to beneficial use for the intended purpose that the voters said yes to.
Yes.
Yeah, excellent. Any other questions, thoughts? Okay. And so now, is Mike on?
He is.
I think we're ready for you,
Mike. I am. Hopefully you can hear me at least. Earlier, yeah. I had trouble with bandwidth, so hopefully my time is not too limited here.
Okay, you have the time, Mike.
Great. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, commissioners. Just like we did before, this is an update of our capital projects and a quarterly update up through the end of June, I guess. And so what I did last time is consistent with what I'm doing this time is I've given you kind of a summary of the projects and the status, and I highlighted the changes. So pretty minor in changes. I just wanted to mention probably two projects that are the two that are in the hot button list, I guess. And the first would be on page 70 of your packet, and it's the Point Hudson Breakwater replacement. And I just wanted to again reiterate the schedule for that project, and working with the permit agencies, our goal is to obtain the permits by the end of this year. And the agencies have not said definitely, yes, we'll get you those permits by that time, but everybody's leaning in that direction, and we haven't heard that we won't get the permits by that time. So I guess that's mediocre news, not necessarily good, not bad, but we think we're on the same track, so they should meet our expectations. That then allows us to work on the granting agreements that we believe will take approximately 3 months, have those done in March, and then bid the project in April. So we are rapidly moving in the direction of getting this project out to bid. We've authorized the consultant, Mott McDonald, to finish final design. So the plan is to wrap that up 95% in October so that we're ready for receiving the permits and then moving forward on the agreements that we need to sign with EDA. So things are progressing well in that regard. And then the other project I wanted to mention is on page 73, there's some recent news as of Friday, I believe. We got notice from the National Marine Fisheries, and I think you've been briefed slightly on this, but they did a biological opinion. They grouped our Boat Haven Breakwater project with, I believe, 11 other projects, or that is one of the 11 projects that NOAA came to a determination of impact from those groups of projects. And what they've recently done within the last year or so is they're starting to look at not just the temporary impacts of a project and how construction can be mitigated, but they're also looking at the long-term impacts of a project. So in a sense, paying for our past sins is the way I kind of think about it. So they're looking at this fairly minor repair of the Boat Haven breakwater and the rock that's out there as a negative 200 points. And that means that they've made a determination that this project, along with the other projects, potentially can cause damage to the environment to the point where we continue to degradate the environment and how it affects the endangered species. There's so it's not a good effect determination. And what they're saying is we need to now come up with mitigation to counterbalance the negative impacts of this project. And as we look at what potentially we might be able to do as positive environmental work, the thing that really comes to mind and that's well-defined in their spreadsheet is removal of creosote. And we've got the Point Hudson project, and that project, if you look at the environmental impacts, it's at about a balance. You know, it's got a positive project impact versus this project. So the spreadsheet determines that a ton of creosote pile, you get 2 points credit. Now, the Boat Haven breakwater repair project came in at about a negative 200. So that just gives you an indication of what we might need to add as mitigation to continue to move forward on that Boat Haven breakwater project. So I think Aaron mentioned, you know, this could be in the ballpark of a couple million dollars in mitigation to do a $240,000 fix the end of the jetty type project. But just again, wanted to bring that to your attention. So there's going to be some decisions that we'll have to make whether we move forward with the current way we've scoped that breakwater repair project or make some changes as we move forward.
Gee, too bad we don't own the Marine Science Center pier.
Well, I'm not familiar with that pier, but you know, we do own the old DOT ferry landing structure.
So is that something that we would need to pay to have removed, but it would be it would help in mitigation, but we would need to also pay, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, we're not paying into mitigation. Essentially what we're doing is coming up with ideas in things that we might have to do to mitigate for the project so that we're in balance in terms of the environmental impact. And to know how much that would cost to remove and to know what credit we would receive, you know, that one structure alone may be not enough credit. We may need to do more. We, you know, if you look at their spreadsheet calculator, we need to remove 200 piles. That's a lot.
Don't we have a lot in that old ferry landing? Do you know how many are there?
And that's what I don't know yet right offhand. But we could do a calculation and we could say, okay, this is what we think this in terms of tonnage of creosote means. And I think that would then kind of counterbalance. But it makes us think about, you know, possibly doing projects not out of the goodness of our heart or, you know, in terms of let's remove creosote piles in our marina because we think it's the right thing to do. I think the opportunity is to use those types of projects as mitigation for others. And that's things that we want to do, things that we believe is the right thing to do, getting rid of the creosote, but not disregarding the opportunity to use those projects as mitigation for the other stuff that we have to do.
I got a comment. Yep. So Mike, first of all, you're on page 72, is that correct? Not 73? The Gardner boat ramp is on page 73. Exactly. Yeah, so 72. And so okay. I'm a little confused because the breakwater, the Boat Haven breakwater, that was an emergency repair done at the commercial basin. If is that what we're talking about? What
no, tiles are you? That was a different one, Pete. So there was a repair done. This was a second damage, I think. And jump in, you know, Mike or Eric. I think this was 2018 storm, partially funded by insurance recovery, and the permit process started in 2019. So just now getting to the tail end of that with the potential opinion of jeopardy.
So yes. I guess my confusion is, I mean, I was involved with that first emergency breakwater repair. And as I recall, there was no mitigation. We didn't have to provide mitigation for that emergency repair. And are you for sure on this, or is this just kind of, I mean, is the government for sure on this? Do we push back a little and say, wait a minute, you know, we're not proposing to add in or take out a wetland or anything like that. We're repairing something that was already sitting on the ground. The environment was damaged when the breakwater was constructed. So I'm not quite sure. It seems like they're kind of grabbing for something that isn't really there.
Well, and I guess that's why I mentioned this is kind of, it's almost a new era, a new regime, a difference in the way they look at things. And we are, in my estimation, paying for past sins. So, you know, whereas before they would typically focus on how the construction and the way you construct a project impacts the environment, I believe they're now stepping into how that structure will permanently impact the environment for ever, you know, or for its useful lifetime. So they actually put a, you know, hey, it's going to be there for 30 years once you do what you're going to do. And then they assign a detriment to the environment type number to it. So it's kind of
have 200 piles to offer up, and what if we don't have $2 million of mitigation expense to offer up? I mean, is the government saying, look, you know, too bad that you have infrastructure on the ground and that supports 400 jobs and a huge you know, workforce here at Boathaven, if you can't provide that, then you can't fix your breakwater, therefore your breakwater fails, therefore your marina fails. I mean, that logic is whack-a-dack. So somewhere, yeah, I think signals are crossed here.
Yeah, what they're saying is go find those opportunities. And whether it's a mitigation bank that you can buy into, or, you know, they even threw out Kaitai in this letter. So it's, you know, is there an opportunity to push back? I think that's probably the decision, or part of the decision, that we need to make at this point.
Kaitai isn't even the ports.
Well, exactly. But then they mentioned it. So, you know, it's a new era. It looks a little different than what we're familiar with in the past. The Army Corps has not accepted the way that they're looking at these mitigation credits, let's call it, or environmental impact credits.
So, if I could just very briefly, Commissioner Hanke, I think your staff would agree that this is an astonishing result, and the implications, if they stand, are profound for the ability of the port to continue maintaining in-water infrastructure. The NIMFS is signaling that the cost of doing business is going to increase really quite substantially for doing, in this case, what amounts to routine and ordinary repairs of long existing infrastructure. So, and it is all driven, you know, by their, by a calculator, something of a black box, frankly. So, I guess I would agree with Mike that there is a question presented to the port as to whether or not this is the opportune time to raise serious questions about the validity of this process.
What kind of
support? I would think large ports, Port of Tacoma, Port of Seattle. Can you imagine? I mean, the Duwamish, or, I mean, Wow. I mean, that's huge. If those guys have to fix something, which they do, and NIMS comes back and says, well, we need you to provide mitigation for that. I mean, that's, you know what I'm talking about.
Seems like a Washington Public Ports emergency. I mean, like they should really help support so many ports who will be facing this.
In addition, the Army Corps of Engineers, I mean, they're on the list of the 11 projects. The Corps had the good majority of them. So they're not being arbitrary and they're lashing the, doling out the punishment. The Corps is along with us in that. Wow. So I hope that, these federal agencies can kind of maybe figure out how to settle the dust in this new process. I don't know.
Yeah.
How much environmental disruption do we have to do this environmental mitigation? I mean, for a huge port like Seattle or Tacoma, I mean, you can't find enough mitigation in the state of Washington probably to satisfy them.
Yeah, I think they're looking at maybe there's some shoreline opportunities. Are there opportunities to take out hard seawalls, replace with soft seawalls? There's oyster mounds that I've seen implemented on the East Coast that help promote scour and shoreline. So that's the hard part is, now we need to go into this thinking mode of how are we going to come up with mitigation that's achievable and something that they would accept? Or so you change the scope of the project and try things different.
So not to minimize the importance of this, but you've got a lot of stuff in your packet here. So do you have other stuff you want to move on to?
Yes. And so those are the two that I wanted to highlight. I knew it, and you can read along. If you have any questions, you can certainly ask on my reporting of the quarter. But I did want to get to a PowerPoint presentation and Karen's going to help me only because my bandwidth is pretty slow right now for some reason.
So Mike, while that's getting up, to summarize the Gardner project, are you saying that that's kind of on hold because of this additional mitigation?
I was misspoken as to the page number in which project I was referring to, but it does bring up, any future in-water work and especially expansion of an existing system. I think we should expect, if nothing changes, that we're going to be running up against some of these mitigation measures in addition to what we've been thinking about. For example, Gardner Road, if we go put in new piling, if we go put in a float, those are things that we're going to have to find equivalent mitigation pluses as we put in these minuses. And then also in addition, I think, because we're replacing the boat ramp, we'll also be looking at, even though the boat ramp's always been there, what impact does that have a permanent impact on the environment for the next, let's say, 30 years useful life? So it's, it is a shot across the bow in terms of what we might be thinking about doing in water as we operate the port and the system that we have. I don't think it's a put it on hold. I think what it is go design it, go submit it, figure out what those impacts are, and then do what we're doing now, which is now make a determination whether it's going back to the funding agencies and saying, hey, these trillions of dollars out here need to help some of the projects they've already funded. And maybe that's the answer, is just things get, the scope creeps more in the direction of an environmental project as we try to do capital projects and structures.
But what they're saying, I think, is that they're going to veto permitting these projects if the mitigation's not identified.
That's correct. They will not allow us to proceed forward with a negative mitigation or a negative environmental impact.
So I got to jump in. Let's keep rolling along with your PowerPoint, Mike. We could be here all day on this.
So go ahead and hit the next slide there, Karen. Essentially, just wanted to show some pictures of what we've been doing. In the next slide, we can skip this one as well if you have any questions on that. But I just wanted to show some of the good work that we're doing, and primarily the crew. This is Sperry Building 2 and 3. These are some of the pictures we took at the very beginning, replacing windows, coating the roof. I think Abigail mentioned a bit on this project. We do have a few minor things to go on these projects. We've got some exterior lighting that we're going to replace, and then also some exterior skylight paneling. If you look at the brewery, the wall closest to Sims Way, you can see those panels that are kind of faded out. We're going to replace those panels to make it a nicer skylight. So go ahead and next picture there, Karen. And then this is the after, you know, a little bit change paint color, windows are replaced. It just did a nice job freshening up the buildings. And then next shot is the Sunrise Coffee and the furniture. So I think, again, the crew does an excellent job. They're doing great. Mm-hmm. Next picture. This is a detailed plan of the first story of the Pavilion Building. So we've had the help of Richard Berg and his company in the design. This is the layout of the bottom floor. We're adding a bathroom. We're adding a kitchenette. We're adding a storage room. We're replacing the old heating system with a heat pump system. So that's still to come. Go ahead and hit the next slide. Here's one of the before pictures. Before we're starting to demolish, we've cut into the walls for the windows at this point. And then next slide. This is one of the doorways. We had a single door leading into that back room. And that's the opening on the right of the studs there. And to the left is the new opening, French doors, that'll open into that kitchenette storage area and bathroom. So it'll open up the space to greater useful function. Next picture. Here's some of the framing that was a few weeks ago. We haven't put the sheetrock in. We're waiting for our final building permit so that we can do our plumbing. And we roughed in electrical. We got the electrical inspections done. And then the HVAC is still to come. So that the picture on the left is the second bathroom. And you can see the first bathroom in the back. And then the picture on the right is the little storage area, just for tables, chairs, things like that. Next picture. Here's a picture just prior to the weekend and the wedding. So, you know, it's hard to see all the little nuanced changes, but the lighting's been changed. The interior's been painted. Those windows are new and installed. That purple wainscoting is gone. The HVAC, or that big noisy heater system blower unit electrical thing, was removed up in the corner. The fans have been replaced. So it's really, even though we're not done, has created a very nice space. And it sounds like the wedding, it was a hit. So we're going to continue with the flooring. The flooring's going to be changed to try to pre-settle some of the lows and the highs, and put an epoxy finish on it. We've got some doors and things to go in that space, but it's getting there. It's certainly turning into something that's going to be a great venue for future events. Next picture.
Is that riser? Is that where the commissioners' things are going to go?
Yes, exactly. It's just a slight step up, not too big of a step, but yeah, put the commissioners up in an elevated, so if people that are seating in the audience, you know, you have a better ability to see faces. And And then we're working on a sound system and connectivity to the internet for the meetings. And
so we'll be able to then knock down the commissioner's podium or rostrum or whatever you want to call it, so that that's more like for an event, that would be more like a band area or something.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. So we can set it up, take it down. But like a wedding, you know, that might be the head table or something like that with the folks up there seated a little bit higher. So it's turning into a great space. And again, the crew's doing an excellent job. The next picture is our Boat Haven commercial dock repair. So this is the New Day Fisheries dock repair that we started planning a few months back, and they've wrapped it up. So they've replaced the pile hoops, the rub boards and the whalers, and all the through bolts. So again, they did a great job working over the water and getting out the old rusted stuff and replacing it with new. So should have a good useful, 15, 20 years on that again. Next picture. The before and the after of some of the hoops as we've replaced them. You can see on the left rusting through, and on the right, we're trying the aluminum tubing and seeing how many years we'll get out of that, and then pressure treated rub board for those pile hoops. And the picture, this is a little bit inadvertent, but you can see a hole in the pile. There's one of our creosote piles that has rotten through the creosote and now in need of repair. So I think, again, those are opportunities for taking these out, things we have to do, and getting credit for them as we proceed with other federal mitigation projects. And then next picture. And then this isn't necessarily our major capital, $25,000 or more, but just wanted to show a couple pictures of some of the stuff that's been going on. The picture on the left, the county crew in a partnership with the port, we asked them to come and do a chip and fog seal of the airport access road, and I've heard it's turned out nice and functioning well. So again, a chip seal and a fog seal, it adds useful life. It seals up so that you don't get the water penetration and further degradation of the subgrade. So it just extends the life. It's like putting new roof on. So we should get a good 10 years out of that surface. And then on the right, some parking lot changes and layout that we're trying prior to the boat festival. And the guys went out there, placed gravel, and did a parking lot layout. And Chris is reporting that it's working out pretty well. And the next shot. And here's something that we're doing recently with the equipment maintenance. As you know, those tires at about $12,000 a piece. We had three more to go on the 300 ton lift. So we put that out of service and replaced the tires. And then at the same time, we're replacing the cabling, the lift cables. And we do that, I believe they said every year on a systematic schedule so that we don't get unexpected degradation of those cable systems. But we do also inspect the cabling system, so to make sure that stuff does not happen. And then next slide. And then just want to report, we've got a new staff member, Ty Taylor. He's doing some of the janitorial services, and he's working out great. And what we've seen is by adding that one person, even we've kind of partnered up a few of the janitorial staff folks, and they've gone out and done other small projects as well. So, I call them small projects, but it's kind of an extension of a janitorial. We'll do a deep cleaning of something, and as they can work in pairs, we can certainly do more in that regard. And then this is a picture of our new mower that arrived a couple weeks ago, and just well-built machine. Shop's excited to have it. It's easier to maintain, and going to be very useful in the future. And then we recently installed a new locking system to the bathrooms down at Quill Scene. So we've got some video surveillance cameras just to make sure that we can see any of the things that have been going on, hopefully that we can prevent and then a new locking system with a fob type card so that we can reduce the unwarranted use of those restrooms down there. And I believe that's it.
Any questions? That's great, Mike. That's a really great presentation.
I have a question on the closing restroom. And how are we letting the community know that they can still have access to the bathrooms by purchasing a ramp pass, or how are we communicating that so that those folks that have relied on that bathroom on a regular basis can continue to use it?
With signage.
I will have to pass the mic.
So there's signage down there explaining that?
Yeah, I think the there were some temporary signs, and I understand that maintenance crew is making now some more permanent signs that just clearly delineate restrooms closed to general public. Tenant use only. If you'd like to become a tenant, contact the mortgage office. So, yeah, they'll be able to walk next door and buy their fob access, with an annual.
I'm thinking that some people may not understand what fob means.
I got you. You're just behind us.
Around noise.
You're right. We're just about to now.
Is that from the airport from Pete Hankey's? Pete, can you
mute? Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna mute. Sorry.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that people are thinking that they need to be a tenant to be able to access the restrooms, and that maybe we need to define what that means. Mean buying it, that they could buy a ramp pass? Does that mean they need more there? Does that mean they need to leave there?
Well, I see. So they're not asking Michelle. They're just wondering or assuming that the way they get there is to do something else. I hesitate to put too big of a sign up, right, with all the detail. I guess my hope is if they're regularly using it, and it says contact, the office, that they would just walk next door and say, what do I have to do to get to keep using it? Let me find out from Michelle what sort of feedback she's getting.
Okay. I can tell you what I'm hearing.
Make it accessible. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I can tell you what I've heard. There are people who are getting the message, and I think the sign might say that you just need to buy a boat ramp pass, an annual boat ramp pass, because the calls I've gotten have referred to a sign telling them. So I think the sign does say that.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it is not open to the public. These bathrooms are not open to the public. They are open to port customers. And it's the same with the bathrooms at Boathaven. They're only open to port customers. So that's probably going to be a bit of a new reality for closing.
We may also operate a porta potty down there.
We do have a porta potty on site. We intend to maintain that for public access. But I'll follow up, find out exactly what's on the sign, and also talk to Michelle about how that's being communicated, because our intent was to make it easy for those who wanted to be part of our port family to join the family for a fee and responsibly use our restrooms.
Exactly. So,
yeah. Okay, so moving on, Mike, thank you very much for the update.
Thank you.
And we're ready to move on to staff comments. I'll just switch around. Do you have any more staff comments, Mike, as long as you're on the line?
Nothing to add, no, thank you.
Okay, all right. And so we'll move on to Aaron then. Staff comments, Aaron?
Yeah, so my only comment for today at this point, at least in the meeting, is, of course, I think the commission is all aware that Mike is going to move on from the port, and we're going to miss Mike. And I think one of the things we've learned by having Mike here is we need a full-time port engineer and project manager to support everything that's going on. So I'd like to proceed with posting that position, recognizing it really doesn't require a shift to our org chart, but it is more hours than what we've currently got. So I'm looking for commission head nods that you're okay with me proceeding with launching the hiring process for Mike's replacement in a full-time status.
Virtual head nod. That would be a head nod.
Yep, virtual head nod for me as well.
Okay, and Pam, are you you good on that? Okay, so two virtual head nods and a thumbs up with a toast. So I'll proceed on that. The only other thing I wanted to mention just briefly is continuing to work with the PUD and the city on the Poplar situation, and specifically some renderings that show kind of what it could look like if there are multiple pretty good projects between now and then. But in particular, if the poplars are removed, the power line, the transmission lines are undergrounded, and the yards expanded to the port property line, and there's potential out there to create, I think what Mike seemed to estimate is close to an acre of additional yard space. Is that how, am I reading that right, Mike, in your estimate? Might have lost him, there he is.
Yep, there I am. Yeah, it's approximately an acre. The way I looked at, I think we had about an acre area to clear and grub. You know, do we actually achieve an acre of useful function? Maybe not, just because of the wall and the fence, but you can look at it as approaching an acre of useful space.
So potentially pretty significant additional usable space, as well as a really attractive port interface with Sims Way and all of that. So lots of steps between here and there with multiple partners, but I'm sort of intrigued by the idea that the city, the port, and the PUD could maybe collaborate and make this a PIF project where we each are paying for a piece of the action and PIF's helping to make it work. It's an expensive project, just our piece alone. Mike's estimating at about $700,000. I think tree removal is a couple $100,000. I'm not sure what tree replanting is yet. And undergrounding is an unknown bogey. So we're still talking. We're going to have another meeting where the three entities' engineers are all bringing back their cost estimates so we get a sense of the magnitude of project. But a pretty interesting one from the standpoint of job creation and resiliency. And that's it.
I would just comment, Aaron, that picture that Mike showed of PT Brewery with that beautiful wall of green behind it, how much that complemented the paint job. It'll be sorely missed.
Yeah. Well, I can show you if you want. Just briefly, I can show you. I'll just give you a quick peek at a rendering, recognizing this is just a rendering. So it's not, you know, it's just an idea draft. No doubt much will change, lots of process, but you know, there's essentially replanted trees clustered, which I guess is kind of the standard now for tree replantation, pedestrian thoroughfare, and boatyard right there. I mean, to me, I picture a sign as you come down Sims Way that says, "Welcome to the working waterfront." And I just note, see this couple right here, the fellow on the right is trying to talk his partner into buying this boat, and she's having none of it. You can tell just by the way they're walking together. He says, "I got it, honey. I'm going to do all the work. Don't worry about it." And she is just not going for it.
Speaking from experience, right?
Yeah.
So I'm at just a quick comment before I move on. I am at 3% on my mini, so I will be calling in here in a minute, Karen, for you. Okay. We're calling in somewhere, I guess. And so if you lose me, just keep rolling and I'll get back on with the phone.
I will email you the phone number if you need it, Pete.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Okay. Hey, could you email it to my PeteHankey@gmail?
Sure, PK. Address. I've never done that before, but I'll try it.
Are you done, Aaron?
Yep, that's it.
Is that it? Okay. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Pete. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Just real quickly, want to let you know that we are anticipating a grant offer from the FAA to be forthcoming either late today or perhaps tomorrow morning to help fund, half of the overlay work that was done in October of last year. So it'll be good to finally tie a ribbon on that project definitively. Also wanted to let the commission know that we are actively exploring the opportunity for another grant application. This is another Economic Development Administration grant for essentially tourism related activities that were impacted by the pandemic. There's an awful lot of money being rained down like manna from heaven from Washington, D.C. And an opportunity in this case, I think, for us to perhaps scope and begin to think about exactly the shape of the one or two of the remaining phases beyond the jetty project at Point Hudson. So early days yet, we're encouraged to get our applications submitted by November to have the best opportunity. It's a rolling application process with a deadline that really doesn't come until early 2022. But you'll probably be seeing authorizing resolution and some details requesting your assent to our moving forward with that project, which again, as yet undetermined scope. This is likely, again, though, to be an 80-20 type project, and we'll actively be exploring other potential partners to help us with our match. And that could, in fact, include the Washington State Legislature. So we'll just, in the next biennium in particular. So we'll see how that unfolds and more to follow. But that's all I've got for now. Thank you.
Okay, and then Karen?
Nothing for me.
Okay, how about Abigail?
Nothing, just working on the budget. That's enough.
Okay, so I'll start commissioner comments and I'll go ahead because I'll just speak before I lose my voice here with no battery. I have no comments, so I'm good to go. Pam, how about you?
You want to let Bill go first and then I'll end with more of our
discussion. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, and if you lose me, I'll come back on with my phone. So I can, all right, Bill.
I'll call your no comment and raise you one. Go, Pam.
Oh,
wow. There you go.
Oh, good, I get the floor. Okay, well, first of all, I wanted to commend Aaron on the letter on page 82. That he wrote to help support a grant and partially help fund PTMTA to have an office for the first time and to be more in partnership with the Marine Trades Association, the Northwest School of Wooden Boats, the North Olympic Development Council, and our Economic Development Council from Jefferson County to all have offices in the Nomura building and to be able to, you know, really help feed our port and our marine trades. So we'll probably get that grant and are excited about that. So thank you, Aaron. And then regarding Team Jefferson, I got a letter. I am on the board, as well as there's four elected folks that are on the board from the PUD. It's Jeff Randall. From City Council, it's Michelle Sandoval. County Commission, Kate Dean. And then there's the Public Sector Cabinet of the four administrators. So we received the hiring selection process and who is involved. and the time frame. And the time frame talks about starting out with the four administrators looking at the applicants, and that was to take place August 10th. And I believe that that did not happen, right, Aaron? Because John Morrow was out of town, and so that's been rescheduled.
No, the winnowing of the applicant list is by August 20th.
Okay. I guess an introductory discussion was going to take place this week.
Yes, that did not happen.
Okay. And then it says that the EDC Team Jefferson executive team will make the final decision on the resulting five candidates. And that, so that executive team is Brian Koo, Ben Bauermeister, and then the vice president and the secretary of the board, which is Heather and Arendt Spesser. So let's see. It looks like over Labor Day weekend and Wooden Boat Festival. During that time frame, they're looking at having a panel interview process. So sometime between Labor Day and Wooden Boat Festival that week. So I have concerns about how our city, county, port, and how this whole panel is going to convene during that short time frame, which is in the busiest time of Port Townsend. It says then mid-September, the executive team will make their final selection. Is that on one person, Aaron, or is that on? And so again, that EDC executive team is Brian, Ben, Heather, and Arendt making a decision on the five, narrowing it down to one, and then presenting that one person to their board for final approval. I have concerns about that, and would like to take any other suggestions that my fellow commissioners have to the board meeting, which is in a couple of weeks, to the Team Jefferson board meeting.
Well, I'll throw one out real quick.
Okay.
So far, and that is, that's terrible representation for the county at large. I don't think any of those individuals live outside of Port Townsend that you've listed as the four people that'll make the final call on who the director is going to be. And I thought the whole push was to move the EDC away from being Port Townsend centric into being county centric. And that was the very reason that the port was pushing for it to be the designated ADO, is that we are county centric. And so I'm really disappointed to hear that that's how that decision process is moving. And I'll just further comment that I can't believe you wouldn't present the board with a choice of two or three nominees and have the board interview them. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, if you look at like what we do at the port, there's an exhaustive interview process by the commissioners of candidates. So anyway.
Thank you. Excellent. Yes.
And is the public at large anywhere in this process, or are they just kind of get the read it in the leader?
Well, so there are essentially five groups of people. There's the executive staff that you've heard is Ben, Brian, Heather, and Arendt. And then there are four different committees that would each be involved in an interview process and providing feedback to the executive team. One is the public sector cabinet, so the four administrators. Another are EDC Team Jefferson's elected board members, so Pam, Jeff, Michelle, and Kate Bean. And then there are some community select members, Pete Langley, Richard Tucker, Siobhan Canty, Cliff Moore, and then there's some public community representatives. Still TBD, with the note on the document I've got saying stronger District 2 and 3 representation being sought. So, I think they are aiming it. I think that's a challenge for them. It seems like it's a theme. It's hard to draw in the broader representation.
Well, they've worked so hard for so long to keep it out that probably, it is.
Well, I'll just make a quick comment because I'm about to go dead. But the other part is, wow, can we get it any more convoluted? I mean, let's invent the U.S. government to try and get something done at the EDC. I mean, if I'm out in District 3, which I am, and I'm asked, you know, okay, please join up to the EDC and have your voice heard. Well, what kind of voice do I have on this board? Because there's many different layers of many different opinions. I don't know. I mean, I'm just disappointed because it seems way top heavy for what you're trying to do. And here's a good example. You're trying to decide on your ED and you've got to run this by, you know, if you do it right, you're talking months of interviews to get this right and get everybody's schedules and calendars aligned. And yeah, I think that's an interesting flop.
Now, are you talking specifically about the Labor Day to Wooden Boat Festival hiring interview time?
That's a flop times two.
Yeah. I'd like to read the criteria. There's 5 criteria that the team Jefferson is looking for. 1, experience with the legislative process. 2, understanding and engagement in our community. 3, proactive economic creativity and innovation. 4, charismatic, engaging, inclusive social skills. And 5, proven leadership. I think that what I'd like to do is have this sent, maybe Aaron can forward this to the whole commission and comments can be given. And then I can take that to the board meeting, which I believe is on the 19th. The other problem—
Any issues with that course of action, Seth?
I don't think so. I mean, you're all just providing written comments to another agent, to the Economic Development Agency. I don't see any problems there.
So long as they're not provided to us first.
The three of you can't circulate your comments to each other. And I mean, you know, but you could each submit them directly to the board itself or the group itself.
Okay, yeah, talk about convoluted, but okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have a question for Seth, because in the EDC bylaws, it says, page 11, confidentiality. Please help me with this, because this does not, I don't see how I can represent the board and the people. All information discussed amongst EDC Team Jefferson volunteers, board members, and staff at meetings and throughout daily operations will be considered confidential unless otherwise stated.
So that's their bylaws. I think you as a board member for that should have a discussion with the rest of the board that you're not in a position to keep those kind of things confidential because you're there representing the port and as a public agency, and you're going to be reporting back to your fellow commissioners and the public on your representation and participation in that board. So I think you just want to make it clear to them.
On the phone though, but okay.
But that will not work for you.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else that my fellow commissioners would like to say regarding the hiring process?
Well, no, I'm good, Pam. It'll just be interesting to see how they respond.
Okay. All right.
I think Pete's pretty well covered it, and I have some of the same concerns. But yeah, I mean, I trust you to carry the message. I just hope it's well received.
I will.
And I would say, Pam, it's never too late to say, you know, we may have this wrong. Maybe we need to back up a little bit and take a look at how to conduct business. And, you know, I mean, I get it. You want to have good representation across the county and across government, but wow, if you get it so big and so convoluted, you'll never get anything done. And eventually a group's going to get left in the dirt and they're going to get their feelings hurt. And then there's going to be, you know, tension and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, I want to end on a positive note, and that is we did a KPTZ interview with Dave Thompson yesterday. And so that will come out on Friday. Working Waterfront interview, it'll be aired at noon. And Dave is a star. He was a two-time port commissioner. He was a yard worker. He lived on his boat here, and he's got a incredible story, little bits of it to tell in his interview. So that was fun.
And lots of great wit. He's an awesome guy.
Oh, man.
Little light comic relief. When I first ran for the office, he suggested it, by the way, and he brought his clippings with him, and some of that is interesting, some of the advertisements and things he ran.
Okay, we get.
Oh, one more thing before we leave the public meeting, Aaron. I keep forgetting when this general aviation manufacturers thing is going to happen, and probably the public should know about it.
It's next week, Wednesday through Sunday. And really from a public standpoint, probably just expect to see a few more aircraft in the center grass tie down area, longer waits for pies at the Goose, and maybe a little more aircraft operations.
Yeah, but this is something that they're the meeting they're holding down in Port Ludlow, and they're using JCIA as a demonstration or showroom for their wares.
Yeah, so the General Aviation Manufacturers Association conferences at Ludlow. This is kind of an adjunct intended to get the representatives of these manufacturers out onto a traditional, you know, GA field. And yeah, exactly right.
Okay, so are we ready to adjourn and move to our exec session?
Yeah, I'll send out a Zoom link for the executive session as soon as we hop off of this one.
Do we have an expected amount of time and whether or not we'll be taking any action when we come back?
Thank you, Seth. That's what I was going to say.
What do you think, Eric? Maybe 15 minutes on the executive session, and we're not looking for any action of the commission coming out of the executive session.
I would agree. At most 15.
Okay. And this is for a discussion under 4230.110.1c, discussing real estate for lease or sale and the price at which it will be offered.
Correct.
Thank you for referencing that, Seth. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Commissioner.
All right. Well, that'll conclude the meeting at the moment. We aren't adjourned. We are just moving into executive session.
All right, I'll send out the link.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone.